Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we exalt you. We thank you for the opportunity every day that you give to us, that we can be sons and daughters of the King who died for us. Though he was our King, though he was our Creator, yet he left heaven to hang out with us and is able to be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Father, as we approach the word today, break the bread of life to us, O Lord, like you did by the sea. Multiply it in our hearts, O Lord, and let it produce 100-fold, 60-fold in the name of Jesus. Let us not just be hearers, but do as I pray in the name of Jesus. Both the speaker and hearers in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
The title of the message, we continue. Last week, if you look on the website, it's titled Law and Grace, March the 24th. If you miss it, please make every effort to listen to it. We're following up with this. How many of us know, we take statistics in a church, less than 10% of the church congregation in most churches are involved with evangelism and witnessing. How many of us know that? Less than 10%. And Jesus commanded you and I to go out into the highway and the hedges and proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Was it a command? Say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me. It's not enough to talk about it, but we've got to do it. And so help us God.
Amen.
I say, and so help us God.
Amen.
In this congregation will not be the 10%. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I said, in this congregation will not be the 10%. Every single soul that has accepted Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, it is incumbent on you and me to be a light wherever we go. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And that is the purpose of this message this morning. Sometimes, how many of us can truly say, I don't know how to witness? Honestly say, I don't know how where to start. Not that you are ashamed of the gospel, you just, maybe sometimes it's fear, maybe sometimes you just don't know where to start. I was there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Nobody else. Nobody else. Praise Jesus. But today we're going to break down the A, B, C, and D. And we're going to be professionals at it. In your job, you're a professional. Amen?
Amen.
Those of you that are doctors and engineers and lawyers and what have you, you went to school to be what, or nurses. You went to school. Those who are in school right now, they are trying to be maybe nurse practitioners, lawyers, and engineers, and what have you. They went to school. My dear daughter there is doing her PhD. She's waking up overnight and reading into the wee hours of the morning, writing her paper. She was giving a testimony the other day. Hours on end. So we're going to be professionals this morning about witnessing. Praise ye the Lord. So that there will be no excuse about it. So please read, go through the sermon on the 24th. And this will be follow up. This is a follow up to that. Now, let's look at something here. In Genesis chapter 24, I just want to bring a parallel. The summary of the last message simply, in very simple terms, in one line statement, is that the modern day evangelism has produced a crop of false converts. Yes or yes? To the intent that whenever an evangelistic outreach is made and you go back, statistics show that less than 10% remain. That will not be our case.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 24, verses 10 through 20. Could you pick it up, brother? Now in this story we see Isaac his dad trying to get a wife for him, and he sends the servant, right? He sends the servant. Let's read the story, Genesis chapter 24. See, and the servant took, verse 10, we keep reading on. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia on the city of Nahor. Verse 11. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at a time of evening, the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master, Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master, Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou showest kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, hallelujah, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Hallelujah. And the damsel was very fear to look upon a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. This is interesting. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and laid down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Hallelujah. And she hasted, emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You say, what has this got to do with what we are talking about this morning? This was a type. Why was it 10 camels? Last week, or last time we spoke here, we were talking about the 10 commandments. We see a parallel here, a type. The camels, like the 10 commandments. God sent his spirit to search for a bride, and he has chosen the 10 commandments to carry this message. As believers, we do not know the bride. The bride-to-be, like Rebecca, draws water from the wells of salvation to satisfy the 10 thirsting camels commandments of a holy and just law. Romans chapter 7, verse 12. The commandment is holy and just. If the law didn't demand death for sin, we would not need a savior. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Every time we go through the scriptures, when the Lord, many servants of God, which we have gone through in the last, I don't want to go through the details. Go to that previous sermon. The 10 commandments, or a portion thereof, was an integral part of bringing them to the knowledge of Christ. But in today's modern day evangelism, what we discovered is that all that is encapsulated in modern day evangelism is just the good news. The good news. How and why has that happened? And what with the implication and what that has done is that it has created false converts. We give people hope on things that are temporal. We say, hey, come to Jesus, your problem will solve this, that, and that, and that, and that. You have a hole in your heart. No. So by the grace of God, we're going to go through how to witness using examples from the Bible, using the Ten Commandments. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember the story in Luke chapter 18, when Jesus was talking to the rich fool? What did he tell him? He said, go do whatever Moses said in the law. Every time the law did that. Am I right? How about the woman at the well? Yes, certain word of knowledge and all that stuff was operating. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, always took us back to his moral laws. The moral laws of man is all. The foundation is the Ten Commandments. Can somebody say amen? So when we are witnessing, I'm talking to people who have accepted Christ, who have repented. When we are witnessing to people, we have to use this same methodology if we expect a bountiful harvest of souls, not false converts. Who are the slightest persecution, trials, they back out. They come to church, they sing, they jump, they dance, but they have not been regenerated. They have not met the Christ. I don't know them, neither do we know them. But see, like the servant in the case of Rebecca, I said, the bride-to-be, like Rebecca, draws water from the wells of salvation to satisfy the thirsting camels by the Ten Commandments of a holy and just law. Romans chapter 7 verse. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just. Why do we then take away the law and expect people to know what Christ died for? There's no way on earth you and I can fulfill the requirements of the law. By the law, no man shall be saved. Period. How many can? Can you fulfill the requirements of the law? No, sir, indeed. It's not possible. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. There's something interesting we notice here. It says, Rebecca ran. Can you imagine that? That's very interesting. Let's look at Psalm 119 verse 21. How can you be doing a favor to somebody and you run? Run to the camels to feed them, to give them water. Just like the bride of Christ. They run towards that commandment through drinking from the wells of salvation, because they know they cannot meet the requirements of the law. Psalm 119 verse 32. Did I say something else? I'm sorry. Say, I will turn the way of the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. When we understand what God has done for us, we'll run to meet requirements of the law through Jesus Christ. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Here's what Christ came to do for us. Let me draw the picture. I drew the picture last time, but let me draw it very succinctly to us, and then we'll go to the next phase of this. Here was a dad. They were at the pier fishing with his little son, about 7-8 years old. He told the son, "Say, on this side where you're fishing, please don't fish on this side of the water. Don't fish there. Fish right on the right-hand side here." So the father went off to the boat to go get some. Before he knew what happened, he had water. The boy fell exactly where he told his son not to. It was a crocodile-infested area. and the crocodile got a hold of his son. He saw blood streaking in the pool of water. By instinct, this man, this father, jumped into the pool, rescued his son. In the process, he died. The child looks at his father, who's crying. Oh, what agony! He couldn't rescue his father. This is what Jesus came to do for you and for me. He that knew no sin became sin, took on the whipping post that we could become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Praise ye the Lord. It brings tears to my eyes, man. You see, we do not need, when your dress is torn, you do not need, all you need is a thread to sew it, what's torn. But without the needle, you cannot do nothing. Am I correct, ma'am?
That's correct.
You cannot do nothing. This needle is the law of God, the Ten Commandments. That is, God has given each and every one of us a conscience. He said, I'm the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is the light. And everybody has a measure of that conscience. He said, with knowledge, you know it. Wherefore it is possible, whether you are rich, you are poor, you are, have you tried to talk to some rich people? They think, I'm having fun. They are having fun, and it's the truth. They are having fun. The only way you can approach somebody who's wealthy, who thinks he's enjoying life, is by God's laws. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to do that. Because by God's laws, when we start asking certain questions, you will know that all have sinned and come short. No matter how many letters you have after your name, no matter the amount of money that you have in the bank. It says wealth will not save in a day of wrath, but righteousness. The modern day gospel has been turned into a message of happiness, a message of joy, a message to make people happy. That's going to be all right. No, that's not what it is. The Bible promises you as a believer, in this world, you will have tribulation. Say, but be of good cheer, I have overcome for you. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
That is the truth. In fact, the day you accept Christ, it looks like all hell lets open. All hell opens wide, trying to get you back. It's the truth. You say, man, why? I thought I was going to have a ball. No. And because of these false converts, when tribulation and challenges come along the way, they just backslide and go. They say, what you promised me, it's not so. Because we have padded. They are looking for a goody-goody. A goody-goody from God in coming to church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. You know, in I think Matthew chapter 7 or so, it says, great, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many are go therein. Sometimes we look at that scripture as though it's talking about the world. No sign needy. Many people coming through this wide gate that promises goody-goody. And they come to church expecting this goody-goody, and it doesn't happen. Why? Because of these things I'm telling us. They were expecting something more than you can promise them. Don't get me wrong. These things, joy, happiness, and all those are fruits, byproducts. But we need, the gospel we need to preach, which we've seen, is righteousness. There's a day of judgment that each and every one of us will stand before our Maker. Praise ye the Lord. And if we fail at presenting the gospel, their blood will be required on your hands and my hands. The whole gospel, so help us God. I told us of the story of this pastor. Last time, I don't want to go through that. Caught up to heaven. And he saw a few things. And members of the congregation say, "Pastor, look at what you preached to us. You gave us half the truth." Because they did not know what Christ died for. They were promised goody goodies. Praise the Lord. So I want to encourage us as we embark on this evangelistic outreach. I implore you. I beg of you. Wake up to the high calling of Christ Jesus in your life and my life. What I say to you, I say to me. A new day is started in this assembly.
Amen.
I said a new day is starting in this assembly.
Amen.
The Spirit is saying to you, God has gone to prepare a mansion. Mansions for us. So that where He is, there we may also be. And He's also preparing us for that mansion. So that when you get there, please get my son. He's got to sit down in here. I don't care what he's doing there. So when you get there, you are prepared. You know that you're going to make it. How many would like to know that they know that they know? That should the trumpet sound this morning. And you are changed. You're going to be with Jesus. Not a false convert. Was looking for goody goody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is serious business because people's eternal destinies riding on it. We have become apathetic to the lost. I said we have become apathetic to the lost. Burden for the lost. All churches have become is a social gathering where I can meet this brother me I've not seen for a little while. I will socialize. I will go back to church. I will go back home. I will come again for another dose. After a while, we become inoculated. This will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. I said, this will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. You and I will be a light for Jesus wherever we go in the name of Jesus. You can give money. I don't say you shouldn't give money. But the Lord needs your mouth. He needs your feet. He needs your arm and He needs your legs. Praise ye the Lord. Somebody say, "I just give money, I'll go sit down." Let me tell you of a true story of a lady. She lay down in the hospital, going to church. Fine, beautiful lady. The children were happy. Oh, she's going to help her. She said, yeah. She lay in bed. She was crying so badly because she was close to death. She was crying. The children were wondering, why? Mama, mama. This is a true story. She said, "I never witnessed my faith. And now I can't because I'm on my dying bed." This will not be your portion. They that turn many to righteousness shall shine like the star in the kingdom of their God.
Amen.
So let's wake up to the high calling in Christ Jesus. My time is running up. So how do we go about witnessing? Every time we see through the Gospels, the Lord starts on the natural realm. I gradually move into the spiritual realm. Talking about spiritual things. So let's start. Could you put on that first slide? I'm just going to share some ideas with us. Okay? Some ideas. So that you will not, if the young ones, some of us who have been Christians for a while, you may not know what I'm sharing with you. Bless God. But it is incumbent on us to pass on the torch, to teach one another the proper way of evangelism. We start in natural. If I met you as a total stranger, most people like to talk about their families, am I correct? Their occupation, hey, why? You got kids? You say, yeah, how many of them? All we're trying to do is acquaint ourselves. We want to be very professional in what we do. So I say, "Hey, ma'am, how are you? My name's Peter. You have a beautiful smile." What would she say? She compliments me back. You move to someone with a smile. Say, "Hey, ma'am, how are you, ma'am? I love your hat. You got kids?" She said, "Yeah." So we start in natural realm. So you could use any of these forms, F-O-R-M, family, occupation, recreation. Oh, she's a nurse. Really? Oh, my sister is a nurse, actually. Wow, she's going to school to be this, to be that, to be that, to be that. So you have developed an acquaintanceship. You have developed a link that creates a conversation in the natural realm. Praise the Lord. Or sometimes maybe recreation. You know what? Oh, man, I like to go mountain bike. You love mountain bike? I can come and say, I wish I knew how to do that stuff. Because I was only 20 by the time I rode my first bike. Truly, I was about 20. I was in college already. I can't. Emmanuel never rode a bike. I see this kid stand on the bike and do the thing. I can't. I can only sit down on the bike and ride the bike. Because I was an old man. Excuse my French. I was an old man by the time I started learning the bike. So you see, we have developed a relationship. I'd love to you to teach me how to ride a bike or mountain bike because it takes a lot of talent, am I right, to ride those mountain bikes. And I found out some bikes are about $6,000-$10,000. Right? Praise the Lord. So you see, I've developed, if you're writing down, please take notes. I've developed in a natural realm an acquaintance, a friendship, a commonality between myself and this total stranger. Let's assume it's a total stranger. Can anybody relate to that?
Yes.
Can anybody do that?
Yes.
You can do that. That's it. But don't you, we don't want to go to somebody, say, if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, you go, rah, 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 rah. Like, you're dead out of town, man. I don't want that part of it. What you're talking about. What you're saying may be true, but you have not built a bridge between you and the person. Jesus. The woman had a well. He just started a natural end. Hey, give me some water, lady. I'm a Samaritan. What are you talking about? We got no dealings together. He started a natural end. Then Jesus moved to the supernatural, to the spiritual. That's what Jesus did. And that's what you and I need to do. So once you've developed that relationship, that acquaintance, then we'll go to the message. Praise ye the Lord. Now gradually switch gears into the supernatural, into the gospel. What most of us do, we at this point just preach, for God so loved the world, you have a heart, hole in your heart that you need to accept Christ into your life and this and that and that and that. No, sir, indeed. No, you're trying to thread the needle. The rope is wet. You don't even have a needle. The person doesn't know. If you come to say, if you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, if you go to some of this jungle, tell them, accept Christ as your Savior. So what are you talking about? I don't even know who he is. Okay? He doesn't even know. Sometimes we look at that scripture and say, he that believeth in Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. He doesn't know. Why? Because he doesn't know the sin for which Christ died. Praise the Lord. Now, next phase. Next slide, brother. Now, here we're going to move to the spiritual realm. Now, we're going to use the Ten Commandments to approach a total stranger. I've met Emmanuel. We said, oh, he doesn't know how to write the Bible. I'm going to teach him. Right? So I say, Emmanuel, I got a couple of questions for you. I may start off easy. What's the capital of Nigeria? You say you're from Nigeria. What's the capital of Nigeria?
Abuja.
Hey, he got it right. Then I'm asking one more question. He's never gotten out of his village. Do you know the capital of France?
No.
You don't know the capital of France?
Paris.
Yeah. Paris.
Yeah.
He got it. Very smart. I got one more question for you. Would you consider yourself a good person? I'm talking to an unbeliever now. Okay? I asked the unbeliever, are you considering yourself a good person? What's he going to tell me? Yes. I'm a good person. Okay, let me check you out. You're a good person, right? You're a good person, right?
Right.
You are. Now you're Emmanuel. Huh? He says she's a good person. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
You are? But you told me you're a good person. I'm going somewhere with this, please. Okay. If I told a lie, what does that make me?
Not a good person.
No, 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 no. What do you call somebody who has told a lie?
Liar.
Liar.
A liar. Hey, Parikpa. One more question. Have you ever taken anything that's not yours?
If I did, it was a long time ago.
No, no. No, I didn't say when. I said, have you ever taken anything that's not yours?
No.
Never.
I'm not a thief.
No, I didn't ask you that. I just said, have you ever?
Yes.
I'm role playing with us. Okay, I'm role playing with us to be professionals at witnessing. So he says, yeah, okay. You've taken, what does that make you if you've taken something that's not yours? Or if I took something that's not mine, I've taken stuff that's not mine. Forget it. I have a few times. What does that make me? Huh? A what?
Thief.
A thief. All right. I'm going to turn to you, men. I see boys here. I see boys. I want to talk to the men. Oh, here's a man. Please, just write these things down. I'm not trying to pull anybody down. Not at all. That's not my intent. Have you ever looked at a woman to lust after her?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
They didn't hear you?
Yes.
Yes. Hey. What does that make you? Huh? Huh? An adulterer. Because you've committed it already in your heart. Now, I've gone through only about 3 of the laws, God's moral laws, 10 commandments. By your own admission, I tell the person, you're a liar, you're a thief, you're a fornicator, an adulterer. The Bible says, appointed unto man once you die, after death there's a judgment. When you stand before the judge of all the earth, on the judgment day, if he's going to judge you by that, will you be guilty or innocent?
Guilty.
Now here, I didn't hear you.
Guilty.
We're witnessing yesterday. The guy said, I'll be guilty. Let me draw the picture. Let me draw it home to you and I. It doesn't matter when you committed the crime. Look at it this way. This guy raped. It's called a kid. Took her here, desert sodomized, like you hear in the news. Slashed her throat. Poured gasoline on her. And burnt her alive. She was begging for mercy. No. And he got away with it. For 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years. Finally, decided doing some DNA work. How many know DNA doesn't lie? And they traced it. Say, hey guy, Billy. Now he stands before the judge. He says, yes, I did it. Now he wants to plead his case. Judge, you know, it was just, have mercy, you know, it was a crime of passion. What do you think judge is going to do? No, come on, talk to me. He'll throw the book at him. He's going to throw the book at him. God is a righteous judge. He's going to throw the book at you and I. Oh, on that day. So we are talking to this person. Now you keep quiet. You look at his face and just let the Holy Spirit start doing his work in his life. While I was witnessing there yesterday, there were two boys. I could literally see this boy's, young man's leg shaking because he knew that he knew that one day when his book is thrown, because God, you see, he loves righteousness. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So you leave him. He says guilty. Then we ask the next question. Where are you going to go? Heaven or hell? Okay. Sometimes they say, no, God is merciful now. Then pull back that story. Brother Cain just said, throw the book in his face. That's what the earthly judge is going to say. What do you think about the heavenly judge? He's going to throw the book. And brother and sister sitting down here, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, you are hearing the message, the truth, he will throw the book in your face if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior. But now, you come and give him hope. This is where the good news comes in. For God so loved the world that he gave. Now you know why it is Christ died for you and for me. He that knew no sin became sin that we may get a get out of jail card free. So you see that man, the picture I drew to us, or the guy, I'll tell you the story about the young kid in the pool went fishing in the crocodile-infested waters. Now he understands what Christ, the price he paid at the cross. Without knowing this, you have just given a witness to a false convert who doesn't understand the price my Savior he paid for you at the cross. Is somebody with me?
Amen.
Every single man of God in the old times, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, John Wesley, D.L. Moody, all of them, it's in this new generation, 90s, 1900s, the gospel has been switched around to just be a good news. How can you give a good news to somebody? Or how can you tell somebody, say, you know what? You got to go for chemotherapy. And he doesn't even know he has cancer. Would you go for chemotherapy?
No.
No way! No way! But once you know you have this situation, then you take the prescription. The prescription is Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He that knew no sin became sin, so we can become righteousness. So now, imagine this guy who committed all these crimes, he was going to be sent to jail forever. While he stood in the courtroom before the judge was ready to send him to 25 years in the federal penitentiary. Unknown to him, there was someone in the courtroom there, his father. The fine was 25 years plus $1 million. The father heard on the trial date of his son and was in court. He didn't know his father was in court. His father raised up his hand and said, hey, judge, can I say something? He said, can I say something? Judge says, the boy turns around. That's my dad. That's my father. So he says, okay. Judge says, come on. He beckons him, gives him the mic, tells the bailiff, give him the mic. And the bailiff gives him the mic. He says, hey, judge, I'm his father. Okay, what'd you like to say? I've sold everything I have. All my real estate investments. $1 million. I'll take his place and I'll pay the fine. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what Jesus came to do for you and for me. Do you get the message? He that knew no sin became sin. So we can go free. Thanks, just my eyes, man. Let me read to us. An email sent to a man of God, by an atheist who heard the message of heaven and hell. So maybe you and I can wake up and go to the highway and hedges and touch somebody for Jesus. He said, I'm reading, this was a letter to Ray Comfort. He said, if you are right, as you say you are, and you believe that, then how can you sleep at night? When you speak to me, you are speaking with someone you believe is walking directly into eternal damnation, into an endless onslaught of horrendous pain which your loving God created, yet you stand by and do nothing. If you believe one bit that thousands every day were falling into eternal and unchangeable fate, you should be running the streets mad with rage at their blindness. That's equivalent to standing on the street corner and watching every person that passes you walk blindly directly into the path of a bus and die. Yet you stand idly by and do nothing. He said, you are just twiddling your thumbs, happy in the knowledge that one day that walk signal will shine your way across the road. Imagine the horrors hell must have in store if the Bible is true. You are just going to allow that to happen and not care about saving anyone but yourself? This is an atheist writing this, a true email. If you are right, he says this. This is the guy writing. He says, if you are right, then you are an uncaring, unemotional, purely selfish, B-A-S-T-A-R-D, that has no right to talk about subjects such as love and caring. Is somebody with me? Those of us who understand the price our Savior paid on the cross, it's incumbent on you to cry out in highways and hedges, sound the alarm of impending judgment, so that the sinner's blood will not be required at your hands or my hands. I do not need to read too many scriptures. There are men of God here, and there are a lot of you who know the commandment that God has given us. Say, go ye into all nations, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Without, there's no sin without the law. The law is just and holy. Galatians 3:24, it says the law is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Is somebody with me? The law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we may be justified by faith. It's not of works of righteousness. It's not because you cannot fulfill the requirements of God. That's why God himself had to fulfill his own requirements. So it's up to you and to me. Say, hey. So while you are witnessing somebody, you may say, but you are a sinner too, and this and that. Hone in on him, because you already have the get free card. Amen? Is that true? You already have the get free card. He doesn't have it. You may try to change the subject and say, you know, that this religion, just stay on focus and let the word do its thing. The word of God will never return void. Praise ye the Lord. Did they get in this message? A gentleman walked in here. Witness, he was right where the pastor is sitting. This guy was crying his eyes out. Only myself and Craig were here that day. He was crying when he understood the Ten Commandments and what Jesus, the price he paid for. You say you may not see this person. Don't worry about it. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch, the Lord took care of him. There was nobody to follow up with the Ethiopian eunuch. Was there? There's none. But the Holy Spirit did his job. Amen. And when you speak the word, the Lord needs your mouth. Amen. He needs your mouth, not just your money. He said, behold, the harvest is, the field is ripe unto harvest. Say, pray that the Lord of the harvest may send laborers into his field. And he wants you. It's a volunteer army who will hear the clarion call. By the grace of God, we're going to role play the next outreach we have. So we can answer questions back and forth and just become professionals at it. One of the gentlemen we were witnessing to yesterday said, wow, I've never heard it like this before. He said it was very professional. That was his perspective. I said, it's not about being professional. But we need to be professionals in our witnessing. Did somebody get anything out of this? Did anybody get anything out of this? Yes. Praise ye the Lord. Let's give God all the glory. Come on, give Jesus the glory. Yes. Hallelujah. This is the message. And let us be the carriers of the message. Let us be the carriers of the message. It doesn't have to be in church. In fact, it's not in church. It's out there where the work needs to be done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to just share with us, as I close, a couple of other natural things. If I came up to, I know who doesn't use glasses here. Who uses glasses? Who has good eyes? Who has good eyes? You have good eyes? Okay. So I can come up to you and say, Wilson, look at this. Which is bigger?
They look like they're both the same.
Which is bigger? Look at it carefully.
The red one.
The what?
Red one.
Red one. Good. He says red one. I'm going to ask Senator Okpara, which is bigger?
The red one.
He said, Sister Rose?
The red one.
The red one. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Everybody says it's the red one. All everybody in interview says the red one. Right? Guess what?
Same size.
Exactly same size. Exactly same size. So it's an illusion of the eyes. I can give a couple of these to somebody who wants to be a witness for Jesus this week. So he can break the ice. Just because of, you see, the person says, what? This is a tract. Just what I've shared with you is right on there. It gives you an opportunity, starting natural realm, So approach somebody about Jesus. Praise ye the Lord. If you want one, talk to me after church, I'll give you one. But please use it. Touch somebody for Jesus. That's the whole purpose. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Shall we pray? Let us pray. Hasara Bashila Makati. He Saru Bashik his Pato Bashila Makati. Ha. Jesus. 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 We exalt you, Lord. We thank you for the price you paid, for our shortcomings, for our sins. That while we're yet sinners, you took our place. How bloody the cross was. The stripes upon your body. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Everybody at the sound of my voice, including myself, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Thou be not hearers only, Lord, but doers in the name of Jesus. That we go out and make disciples of all nations in the name of Jesus. Help us, Father, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. We are hopeless. We are helpless. We thank you, Father, because you are help to the helpless and hope to the hopeless. Without you, what can we do? Father, help us. Those that make a commitment to serve you, to be a mouthpiece, in the name of Jesus, help us. You say, he that goeth out with weeping, shall he will doubtless return with a bountiful harvest, with sheaves bringing it in. Help us, O Lord. Let us not be lazy and slothful in business, in what we do for you, Lord. Because you said, Lord, what shall it profit a man if he will gain the whole world and lose his soul? Oh, help us in the name of Jesus. Help us in the name of Jesus. I'm reminded to remind us of something. There's such a thing as aiding and abetting a crime, breaking God's laws. An accessory to a crime, you will suffer the same consequence, lest you repent. Jesus said, if by actions will cause any one of these that believe in me, he says, better that a stone be wrapped around the person's neck and thrown. It's what I'm doing, what you're doing, the way you carry yourself, what you wear, does it portray Jesus? May the Lord help us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let us be lights wherever we go. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord! Praise ye the Lord. If you do have any questions, there are a lot of men of God here who will be glad to answer your questions. If you need to repent, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You can't be in Christ and be doing the same old, same old. That's right. If you need to repent, repent. It's a new day today. Hallelujah. 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 Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I could go on and on, but enough. Christ has redeemed us. We are in our shame. Let me sing this song to some of us. Christ has redeemed us. Praise to his name. Praise him, ye angels in glory. Christ has redeemed us, bearing our shame. Tell of this wonderful story. Sister Alice, you know that song? Say, Christ has redeemed us. Praise to his name. Praise him, ye angels in glory. Christ has redeemed us, bearing our shame. Tell of the wonderful story. That is the command. Tell of the wonderful story. My wife, you know the song? Oh my goodness. I'm looks like I'm aging myself now. These are for the old timers. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. We just thank God. Those unto whom much is forgiven, much is required. Truly much is required. Those of us that has redeemed, much is required from you and from me. Amen. Go and spread the good news. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And he that believeth. What a day will be, man. What a day it will be. Woo! What a day it will be when I see my Savior. How many of us look forward to that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm excited. Can you tell? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we if you have an offering, anything you'd like to give to the gospel, this is your opportunity to bless the house of God. I'm going to ask the praise team to help us. Everybody here, everything you give is used for the gospel. Praise the Lord. I can tell you this is good soil. It is good soil. Nobody gets paid here. Hallelujah. You're a volunteer. Everybody here is a volunteer. And you've decided to be a volunteer in God's army. He didn't pull you, he didn't force you. Just freely. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. What are you going to do?
Lord Johnson.
Old Johnson.
Lord, you are awesome.
Okay. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good.